You're listening to Radio Basics on CHOY 105.5 FM. This is Steve, and tonight I will be speaking with Jim Picto of the Mi'kmaq Warrior Society. Jim Picto of the Mi'kmaq Warrior Society, the homeland security of the Mi'kmaq Nation, the original peoples whose ancestral territories span much of the Atlantic region of this land they call Canada. Jim Picto has been involved with the resistance that has been developing in New Brunswick in opposition to hydraulic fracturing, also known as fracking, a highly destructive and toxic process by which high-pressure water and chemicals are injected into the ground to remove oil and gas from shale rock, a process that is becoming increasingly common as easily accessible crude oil supplies dry up in the world. As Canada becomes an energy superpower in the world, places like New Brunswick are becoming hotspots of resistance, drawing together native and non-native people who are concerned with the environmental destruction associated with such extractive processes. Last week, Jim Picto and other members of the Mi'kmaq Warrior Society were arrested by the RCMP for their work in defending their nation and the land. Jim Picto is on the line with us now. Hello, Jim.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good. Thanks for being on the program with us.
Oh, no problem. Appreciate it having me.
Yeah. So, you know, over here in these parts of Canada or, you know, Turtle Island, this continent, people may not be familiar with the Mi'kmaq Nation, its history, its territories. So maybe we can begin with that first and some of the treaty, peace and friendship treaties that are the background to the basis of your opposition to these projects.
Well, we follow underneath the 1752 treaty, and that helps us bargain or trade with the non-natives, and gives us the right to hunt and fish anywhere in the Mi'kmaq territory. And that's all in New Brunswick and Nova Scotia, Atlantic province. Mm-hmm. And we've been fighting to prove our rights forever, it seems like, with the new Indian agents that's been formed for many years to try to sell us out. They're doing a good job. And with the land and fishing disputes that we've been having underneath the treaties, I've won battles. They always get tied up in the courts, or the chiefs end up selling the rights back to the corporations or the fishing industry or the logging industry. So we've been finding out it's more about the corporations coming into, you know, into Atlantic region through our districts of chiefs. We have 30 bands through the Maritimes in New Brunswick, their Atlantic province. And we fight for all the bands. We represent for the grassroots people, the elders, and the youth. Mm-hmm. We're here to protect land and the water and the treaty rights and uphold. We're homeland security, and I've been very positive doing this in a peaceful way. Mm-hmm. People has tried to say we're violence and all this, but in the last 20 years that I've been involved, we came to escalations, but never no violence, and nobody has ever been hurt. Mm-hmm. But we got our points across where it got tied up in the courts. This time with our water rights and our religion rights that are up on the platter right now in the courts' eyes, I never seen it before in the years of fighting that we had to prove ourselves to be Native. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, we usually used a status card. So from the treaties that were peace and peaceful, I think now today they're not. They've been broken. Don't understand how the government is allowed to sanction to put poison into our water. Underneath the treaty rights and the peaceful treaties, we're supposed to protect our water. But here in the Atlantic region, and as you've seen all the way across the United States and parts of Canada, that nobody's abandoned by that. Mm-hmm. And by doing this with the corporations, we're losing everything. So we have to stand up as one and unite as nations across, because they're calling upon our identity today.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back to the that 1752 treaty. Can you tell us a bit about what were the terms of that treaty and what's the basis for, you know, for example, the opposition to this particular project, but also your continued struggle to assert your identity, your existence, your nationhood, how is that based in that treaty?
Well, it states that we have the right to protect and to serve our land through peace and treaty. As underneath, in coercion of the treaties, the Queen of England is supposed to protect the Aboriginal people. from any harm or well influence to their government. And to do so, if we ever feel fault or feel in danger by the government, we should be able to call on the Queen. And through this treaty, I've called the military army base in Oromocto, New Brunswick, to help us out on an incident up with the water rights here on Airport Road. They blocked the road, which the Crown, which should never, Crown RCMP, don't have the right to protect Crown Road or Mi'kmaq territory. I say Crown is because that's how the government perceived it. First Nation Mi'kmaq warriors or Mi'kmaq people perceive it as Mi'kmaq Nation. And that's what is in dispute today, is proven what is our land and what is their land. And the titleship. And underneath the treaties, the Queen is supposed to uphold all this. Now, I'm combining a couple things with this treaty right now. You take Harper. He said it was okay for the MB government to bring in Turkey. Now, did the Queen of England sanction Harper and the New Brunswick government to come in and destroy the nations? Not even the, alone the non-natives, but we look at the Acadian nation. They didn't want it here either, but the government of Harper is saying, too bad. We're working within the corporation and want to win this. And I'd like to ask the Queen this, of the 1752 treaty, did she sanction this? And if she sanctioned Harper's government to come in and destroy our water, that means she has broken the peace and friendship treaty that she has made with the First Nation Aboriginal people. And this is where the Homeland Security is supposed to uphold, is to make sure that treaty is recognized and covered by the Queen of England, by the province, by the government, by the opposition of corporations. Supposed to never come in and break the treaties. Here they violated them already.
Yeah, I guess many non-natives probably wouldn't understand or know that many of those peace and friendship treaties were signed with the Crown. And there were no legitimate, relationships, nation-to-nation relationships established with the Canadian government after its confederation. And in fact, as you mentioned, the Indian Act, from which a lot of the Native leaders elected representatives under that piece of law, which many consider, and indeed it is, a quite racist and colonial piece of legislation that basically governs so-called Indians in this country, was imposed. It wasn't brought through a nation-to-nation renegotiation necessarily, but an imposition. And you had said that the existence of the Mi'kmaq Warrior Society exists to defend the children, the elders, and the people, the Mi'kmaq Nation, and in contradiction, I guess, at times with those who are elected under a system that doesn't recognize the nationhood of the Mi'kmaq people. So I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about the Mi'kmaq Warrior Society.
Well, the Warrior Society has been a form among the Aboriginals here in the Atlantic region for a long time, but we were never recognized until OCA.
Yeah.
When OCA came through, our warriors from Waikagma and Eskazoni went up there and they fought with them. We all did.
Yeah.
And they passed the flag back down to the Mi'kmaqs. So when they brought it back down here, we formed a society. We go against, we don't recognize the Grand Council or the Indian agents, which are the chiefs.
Yeah.
And we've been fighting against them the whole time. The Grand Council is with the church. The Warrior Society is the treaty people. We recognize the treaty. We defend the treaties in all extreme necessaries because that's our right. And we're trying to prove that the peaceful friendship treaty, we're keeping peaceful, but the government isn't. The Queen is not fulfilling her part of the treaties. The Warrior Society, based on the people, we go to each place. We get a letter of request from the elders or the clan mothers or the women, and then we take action from there. I go out myself and get the information that the society needs and bring it back to my war chief and the district chiefs and submit it. If we vote on it, then we'll go out and assist that district. And we call upon all warriors of all nations because it shows that we have the right from all the districts in Atlantic province to stand up as one. We make the society one. there's the Grand Council that tries to divide us and try to recognize different war chiefs, but they never had one, and now they voted one in. So they're coming up to worrying about the future, what we know, what it holds, and that's taking away the Indian Act chiefs. Mm-hmm. We'll be fighting this way for a while, and that's what we're trying to do. The society takes votes on their members. Mm-hmm. We choose our own people.
Yeah.
Who belongs to the society. Nobody tells us what we should do or how should we fight it. But we do listen to the women, okay? Because that's who we protect, is the women of the Mother Earth. You know, like when we were doing the logging, there was a gentleman, elder, that was in the Minister's Office of Natural Resources, said a comment, and I'll never forget it. Told the minister that you're cutting our grandmother's hair off. How would you like us to go in your grandmother's bedroom and shave her head? Hmm. Now, at that time, I lit up a cigarette. We're in the government building going, our elder can say this, sir, this is right on. This is a proof that we look at the land as our grandmother.
Yeah.
And we've got to uphold it, you know, and purify it. Even with our own people trying to do the logging and stuff, we try to go out there and try to make sure that they don't overcut or, you know, overfish. But our chiefs made sure that there's laws for our selling our rights away, or not even selling, they're leasing our fishing rights away on us.
Yeah.
So as a society, we're trying to stop them at all means every day. I started the fishing rights for the Mi'kmaq warriors, for the people in on the Indian Brook Reserve in Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
And I started it, the fishing disputes. And what I've seen when I've started it and negotiate with the non-natives to work together as one, I see today that the people ain't recognizing, the chiefs ain't recognizing our right to keep it. They rather sell our rights for the cash, for their own back pocket. It doesn't even go back to the communities.
Mm-hmm.
It goes right back to their own. They buy houses and, you know, boats and cars and forget about the grassroots people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the society does. We don't forget. We're a non-fundable organization.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get paid. We just collect donations.
Yeah.
We're here all on our own heart. If you don't believe in what you're fighting, you can't stay and fight. You will leave.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes a lot of dedication to stay on something like this. I've been on missions for 16, 18 weeks and longer. So you have to dedicate your life to your own right. I don't know where I come up with the fight within me sometimes, but I got to always go back. I got to always keep at it. It's something that I believe in. My cousin was Annie Mayag Washpicto that died up under me down there in North Dakota. So I feel that the spirit's come through her to me to make sure that the people today to keep fighting.
I was wondering that when I saw your last name. I had wondered if there was a relationship there.
Yeah. Yes, I am.
So in the last little while with the development and pushing ahead with hydraulic fracturing in New Brunswick, I understand there has developed a broad resistance of Indigenous people, also with non-Native people, with particularly the Acadian Nation. A lot of Canadians out here may not even know that there is another nation of people out in that region of the country, the Acadian people, French-speaking people, and resistance has been broadly developing to the development of hydraulic fracturing or fracking. Can you tell us a bit about that recent history and where things are at right now?
Well, you know, when we came out to this Victo here, Bico, I was stunned when we went over to Rogersville, seeing the open arms of the Acadian Nation inviting us into the community and willing to help us out into a ranger's camp that was there and put us up. And been supporting us with, you know, running, signatures out there and getting everybody's backing us. Now, this is the most I've ever seen non-Native support the Warrior Society ever. If you got 1,700 people times five, that's what we have in five communities. That's a lot of non-Natives, more than we ever had of Native people standing beside us.
Yeah.
You know, I fought for one Native. Here I can stand up for that many non-Natives as well. We're all instant Nogama, means all my relations.
Yeah.
And we all share the same water.
Mm-hmm.
And the Acadians, they're all saying that the government saying they wanted it here. I've seen that they don't. I've seen them stand up, protest, hundreds of them against the SWN in Rogersville. And
this is the Southwest
hardcore.
Energy? Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
This is Southwest Energy, you said, right? SWN.
Yes, Southwest Energy, yes. I just abbreviated.
Yes.
And, you know, we went to ourselves. I took Acadian representative with the Mi'kmaq Nation. We went to see the premier of Nova Scotia. We went to Mines of Energy, Department of Natural Resources. We even went down to St. John to see Irving, and we went to the gates and took pictures and asked, who do we speak? Because we know it's just not Southwest. We know it's Irving that's allowing the company to come in and drill with the premier of New Brunswick. So instead, like the RSMP was attacking us up here since I've been up here. Since we did that block, I went through the blockade that night. I went through three blockades that day, starting at 4:20 in the morning.
Which day was this?
And that was on the 28th. That was on a Sunday of June on Airport Road. And they had my war chief up there with the district chief, and the road blocked off for 8 hours. Mm-hmm. I got a text, so I came up, went to the first barricade, negotiated them out, got them off the mountain. We went back to the headquarters. We found out that there was a woman back inside the hill, and they weren't letting her out. So when we went up, we went to the first barricade, drove through it, and then we got stopped at the second. And that's when I negotiated with the military and so-called, we don't even know if they're RCMP or they're the SWN police. But at the time, they were wearing RCMP uniforms and their cars, but playing a role for SWN.
Uh-huh.
So the government's allowing the RCMP to have a double standard job. So how do we know who they are when they're not representing themselves properly, but trying to bully the First Nation people on moving the women? Because they were bullying the women on these sites, because in the beginning in June when they protested, it was all women. And when the 33 women got arrested, it was from the RCMP, but it was due to Southwest Energy. So they're playing a role of a rent-a-cop or security, but they're not playing a role of RCMP J Division on that mountain that day, if you've ever seen the video. They're playing security. And with the military, I showed that we could go. You cannot block Mi'kmaq or Crown Land, as they call it from the non-native point of view. We went through.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've been, and since that barricade we went through, I've been pulled over. Just on accused of, there was a warrant out for my arrest, released on the road, and drove down the road a little further and picked up again and charged for a cell phone ticket that I didn't pay for two years. And they took my license from New Brunswick for this. Mm-hmm. Little things that they're picking at us as Warrior Society members and at our other members, so we can't protest. We don't protest. The people protest.
Yeah.
We insert our rights. So by us inserting our rights, they're trying to condemn us on criminal acts, just so we won't be around.
So I understand that last week, three of your members were harassed and charged by the RCMP. Can you tell us about that incident and what led up to it?
Yes, we got notified the night before there was an all chiefs meeting. And so we got up in the morning and we went down to track down the all chiefs meeting to confront them. We've been at this a couple attempts and they've been avoiding us, leaving meetings early. Well, we pulled in front of the hotel and here comes all these undercover cops. It almost looked like a drug bust. They came up to my face. They wouldn't even acknowledge who they were until we stepped away from the vehicle onto the sidewalk next to the building. Then they let me know who they were. These time and days, people just don't jump up in people's face. This is a crisis situation. The cops are trying to use their authority and bully us in a nice, simple way. But it's not occurring. Now, we got arrested. Two got arrested for mischief, and one got arrested for uttering threats. And now we're sitting down at the table with the RCMP starting this week, Monday, and trying to find out the rights and the negotiating terms with the RCMP. Now, they told us that the Premier Energy Mining, DNR, and Fishery Department is the people that they're just carrying out to protect them, as they said they would protect us. But we haven't seen that on this one for fighting for the water yet. You know, we used to work the RCMP with the society because we had a good peaceful solution with them, you know, and now today they have broken that. So if we're fighting against the RCMP, that's why I'm calling on the Queen. Because when you're fighting a federal government officer, who do you go to? that's above them.
So I understand this is why you last week had tried to call on the Canadian military to serve its treaty responsibilities to, given that technically they're under the authority of the Crown through the Governor General of Canada, to defend you against the harassment and charges brought by the RCMP.
Yes. Yeah. And they were all go. I had military gentlemen who represent them in the court saying, we'll be there, we'll be there. We were there 3 hours. They said one. And at the end of our agreement there, they sent us back to our RCMP and said the only way we could come out there is the Brunswick government called us a pawn to come out.
Yeah.
Bottom line, who's going to fund them?
Yeah.
We're not going to pay them. You know what I mean? But here they don't want to come out unless they're funded in the proper channels from the government.
This is a part of the, I think, the Aid of Civil Powers Act, which allows provincial governments to call upon the military to solve local issues, right?
Now, who do we call on as a nation?
Yeah.
From our point of view, and we're supposed to have the Queen there. Mm-hmm. And the Queen is supposed to represent us in any images or disputes with the government. So where is she? This is what I'm trying to call on. We have a treaty with the Queen that doesn't even recognize our treaties as friendship and peaceful treaties anymore. She doesn't even stand up. She sends other representatives. Yeah. But her word is the one that got broken here on the treaties.
Yeah.
Uphold justice.
It seems like they passed on that portfolio to the Canadian government in 1867, and they just want to pretend like those nation-to-nation relationships never really existed.
Yeah, and it's like passing on the buck, but we are a nation, and we're supposed to be recognized as a nation. And people are forgetting. That's why we keep fighting, because we are a nation. We have our sovereignty right. We have the right to act. We have the right to act on. It's not a right unless you act on it. Mm-hmm. You have to exert your rights to be heard and to uphold. Everybody wants to know what to do. Well, you have a status card. You're an Aboriginal First Nation people or treaty or territories across Canada. But today, they're trying to assimilate us like they did in California. Mm-hmm. If you know how the California Indians, they were assimilated and they were put on quarterly, half-year, yearly checks, and their reserves were all blocked off. Now, I've seen this growing up in the States. When I moved back here to Indian Brook, I've seen that that's what they're trying to do today to the First Nation people in the Atlantic region and across Canada, assimilate us and lose our authority as a nation.
Jim, with Canada becoming increasingly an energy superpower, relying more and more on plundering the soil and the land and Mother Earth, for its so-called economic prosperity, which benefits few at the expense of more and more people, how do you feel about the resistance that is developing and that has yet to develop across not only Native communities but non-Native communities?
Well, I'm from a country that's all paid, right? I was born in a country. I'm here in Canada. I've seen that the government is allowing. Irvin owns 85% of New Brunswick. And all the woods that we have left is the buffer zone. If there was no buffer zone, we wouldn't have them forest. Mm-hmm. So if Irvin's doing this, he's more worried about his gas emissions to come equal. See, people forget about gas emissions in the population of the province, right?
Yeah.
And Irvin has no green to solve their gas emissions. Mm-hmm. So he's clearing the land, clearing the water. Then he can throw some wind turbines up, and it looks like he's number one environmentalist for gas emissions to equal out. Yeah, the government the people don't realize all this upcoming. I've been in the industry of wind and natural resources all my life in California and up to here. And if we don't stop this here in New Brunswick with the government's going to just sell us out towards all of it. And that's with the Indian Nation. How can I believe a chief that swears into the crown than to his people?
Yeah.
So are we already lost by that? Or are we upstanding to fight? Now, these treaties are coming out in the future will uphold everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks that nobody has anything to back up their words. There is papers and documents everywhere. You just got to find them. And people do have them. to prove titleship of ownership of the land.
And how do the Acadian people, the people that have been standing alongside you and struggling as well, how do they feel about those historic relationships? Do they want to renew them? Do they want to see a genuine, you know, new peace and friendship relationship or one restored with them between you?
Well, I asked a gentleman this. I met a French-Canadian nation whose ancestors were the sign-in of the Peace and Friendship Treaty with the Mi'kmaq Nation back in the 1600s.
Yeah.
And his blood goes through that. And I asked him the other day at the table, my blood goes through mine. Would you like to sit down and write a new treaty among us? We might come up with one better than our government does. Because the treaties that they're writing up, it's just rewritten and trying to fit to their means as corporation and not to our people. And Acadians are saying, you know, if you have to take the land, take whatever you got to do to save our water. Mm-hmm. Because they know their $150,000 homes today is going to be worth $5,000 in the next few years if this drilling goes through.
Yeah.
And they only would have a camp and not a mansion instead. So they're willing to do anything at any means of supporting today and even standing in front of beside us on the front line.
Mm. All right, Jim, we're going to have to leave it there. I really appreciate the conversation, and we're going to continue following the story, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Jeter, and I appreciate being on the air. Thank you very much.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay.